Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact them and their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Coming up this hour on the show, Gary Gorski is going to join us. He is the creator of Wolverine Studios. They ran a simulation at their studio company of the NCAA tournament. I'll talk about what the simulation uncovered with Gary coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. Who was the national champion, which would have been played last night? Who was the Final Four? What were some upsets? We'll discuss the simulation of the 2020 NCAA tournament coming up here in approximately 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, this date in mothership history, an emotional mirage after Ryan Callahan is traded. This is a big hour here on the show. But I want to begin with the NFL's All-Decade team announced yesterday of the 2010s. This is notable because this is a benchmark, a significant one for who's getting into the Hall of Fame. If you go back to the 1990s team, the 2000s team still has guys that could get into the Hall of Fame but aren't in yet. But if you go back to the 1990s team, if you just took first team offense, first team defense, only one of the first team offense or defense isn't in the Hall of Fame. That's how significant this is. Okay? So when you talk about making this list, it basically dictates who gets into the Hall of Fame. The only all-decade member of the 1990s first team was Leroy Butler, who played for the Packers on their Super Bowl teams in the mid-90s. Interestingly, Ronnie Lott was a second-team all-decade that year. Of course, his best decade was the 80s. He was second-team all-90s, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So there's, if you flip the two, everybody on the first team would have been in the Hall of Fame for the 1990s on offense and defense. So we fast forward to the 2000s, and your head coaches, your all-decade head coaches, Bill Belichick, Tony Dungy. Totally deserving honors. Belichick had won three Super Bowls in that time. Tony Dungy won one, but in the 2000s also had helped resurrect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then helped make the Indianapolis Colts the standard for a long time in terms of regular season excellence. Now, interestingly, Bill Belichick is also the first team head coach for the 2010s. Pete Carroll is the second team. So Belichick won three Super Bowls in the 2000s, three in the 2010s, which makes him the first team head coach of the all-decade team two decades in a row. Here's my first hypothetical, my first question here about the all-decade team lists. Again, I think they got it right. Belichick, Dungy, Belichick, Carroll. I think you could have Andy Reid in the 20-teens, this last one, the 2010s, if you will, because you would say his Super Bowl came this year in 2019, the last year of the decade, had a lot of regular season wins as well. But Pete Carroll went to two Super Bowls, Andy Reid won in this decade, and Andy Reid and Pete Carroll has been to 8 postseasons in 9 years within the decade. But let me ask this. Belichick's going to keep coaching. Who knows if it's 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Some say he's going to be coaching until he passes Don Shula, which would probably be about 5 years from now if he won 9 or 10 games a year. Mraz, do you think Bill Belichick makes a third all-decade team in the 2020 all-decade team, the 2020s?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do. Because I do think Shula's realistic, and I think Belichick, I guess, is healthy for a head coach, and he's so warped into, and he's so good and so above everybody else. Yes, I think he coaches at least 5 years, and I think winning enough games that almost by default you're going to put Bill Belichick in, especially if he finds a way in the next 5 years to win just a Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
He's 55 wins away. 55. So he needs 5 good seasons here, 5 double-digit win seasons, and a couple of 11-win seasons in there as well. A 17-game schedule is going to help him.
That's true.
But he's about 5 years away. So that means we think he'll be coaching another 5 years, so midway through this decade, and maybe a 6th season to have to do it. That means Belichick, if he chases down Shula, coaches 6 years in this decade, we would say. Is that going to be enough? Will he have enough success to get him on next all-decade team? That would be 3 all-decade teams, which nobody has ever done. I don't think so. He might chase down that record, but I think there's going to be 2 coaches in this upcoming decade that overall have more success in the decade.
So the whole bit there, though, is the older coaches right now, an Andy Reid, a Pete Carroll, those are guys, I don't know about you, they're not coaching the next full decade. So I think if you're looking at all the coach turnover, it's hard to imagine there is a coach in position right now starting this year that will coach all 10 years in the decade.
Well,
as a head coach.
I don't think it's crazy to think that Sean McVay or Cliff Kingsbury could.
Okay, that's a good one.
Those are really young. And who knows about Kingsbury, but it's not crazy.
I guess John Harbaugh could.
Well, but Harbaugh's been there he's probably been there for a decade already. So I don't know if he's got another decade in him. But a guy like Harbaugh or Tomlin have been there for over a decade. Carroll as well. Those guys are older. But, you know, Harbaugh and Tomlin were unproven when they came into the league 10 years ago, even more now.
Right. So I guess Joe Judge probably.
Okay. So I do think we'll have guys that coach the entire 10 years. I think you'll have guys that might not even be hired yet that could end up. Now, they got to be hired soon because you want that bulk of time. You have to have probably 8 or 9 years to get on this list, I would think, in the decade, unless you do all of your damage in the final 6 or 7 years of the decade. But I don't think Belichick makes the 2020s all-decade team. But if he did, my goodness, what type of career is that?
Well, he's going to be the greatest coach of all time. What do you mean what type of career it is? The greatest coach of all time. 3 all-decades, 1 million championships, all basically taking 1 week off in Cape Cod to play golf a year. He's crazy, but that's the kind of career he is. He's the greatest coach of all time, and we'll finish that way.
In the NFL's annals, the all-decade team coaches, you know, you have Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, Bill Parcells, Vince Lombardi. None of those guys did it for multiple decades in a row, and Belichick has already done it. So that's pretty insane. Let's now also go to this year's team, okay? Mraz, like I said, if you're a first-team winner here, if you're on the first team, more than likely there's a 90% chance you're in the Hall of Fame. So I just want to go over the first-team guys and see if we agree they're going to be Hall of Famers, okay?
Okay.
Tom Brady. Yes, obviously. Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson.
Peterson, definitely. Gore, I feel like by default, if you're using the peer argument, will end up that way because we haven't had the longevity of a Gore at that position other than him.
Correct. He's going to end up having such significant duration. I mean, he's already, I think, the number three or number two rusher in NFL history, I believe. I believe he's number three behind only Emmitt and Walter Payton
okay.
at this point.
That makes sense.
So when you think about that, how could you keep him out, right?
Right.
Antonio Brown, Calvin Johnson.
I think neither make it.
Oh, I think Calvin Johnson does.
Even with the career cutting short like that?
I do, because during his time, and I'd have to see exactly how many years he played, but I think during that time he was so dominant that he would end up being in there.
I think Calvin Johnson ends up a Tiki Barber, where he probably should be, but just not enough longevity. Especially the receivers play a long time now.
I have to check to see who's the first teamers. I think it's AB and Larry Fitzgerald. I believe maybe it's Calvin Johnson. I don't know.
I think there's three.
Oh, they put three in the first team. Got it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald's definite, right?
Yes, undoubted. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
No, there's four, DA. There's four wide receivers.
Julio not all on the first, but they're not all on the first team.
All decade.
No, okay. You're looking at the wrong thing.
All right.
Number one, tight end. First team tight end is Gronk. No doubt Hall of Famer, right?
Yes. And a wrestling Hall of Famer.
So we've gone through the list. Basically, if you hit on the first year here, or the first team rather, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's pretty amazing. Now, the offensive linemen, I hesitate to do because I don't know how many people know how good offensive linemen are. Let's go to the defense. J.J. Watt, automatic Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I think you're right. How about Ndamukong Suh making this list?
So I have issues with Sue. Big time
okay,
issues.
Okay, give them to me.
So, number one, I think his initial early immaturity transgressions on the field derailed how great he could have been. Number two, as good and as effective and as disruptive as he's been, have we ever looked at, outside of maybe that the first 4 years, Sue ever being great? The moment he could sign a contract elsewhere with Miami, I mean, he's never been the same, and now he's bounced around to like three other teams. So outside of that initial rookie deal, how can anybody look at Sue and think that's a Hall of Fame awesome player that was worthy of the pick where he was?
I think that's true. I think it's very true. I think it's hard. I think his transgressions, I think, are going to hurt him. I think they're going to hurt him. And has he ever been consistently, you didn't have to worry about effort, you didn't have to worry about distraction, didn't have to worry about coachability. Was he ever the most dominant player for a stretch at his position, which is what you're talking about for an all-decade team and a Hall of Famer? That's a tough sell for me.
Right. I'd have to look back. I would imagine for a year or two in Detroit, he probably was, but again, probably only a year or two.
Is Julius Peppers a Hall of Famer?
Yes. No doubt about it.
No doubt.
No doubt. And he has the longevity. I think Julius Peppers doesn't have to wait either. I think Julius Peppers is first ballot.
Okay. What about Aaron Donald?
I mean, too early to tell, but certainly projecting that way.
Well, I mean, he's already on the all-decade team. I think it's a no-brainer. I think if he's on the all-decade team already, he's a first-teamer, and he's been a multiple-time NFL defensive player of the year. I think it's a no-brainer. Aaron Donald's going to go to
5 years.
Is that right? It's only been 5 years.
He was in the Beckham draft. They just got done with their what would have been their rookie deals.
That's true.
His extension last year. So I mean, if Aaron Donald retired today and only played 5 years in the league, despite all those, he's a Hall of Famer already.
What did you think about them going with Aaron Rodgers as the second team quarterback instead of Drew Brees?
I have no issue with that. And Rodgers won. Wait. Rodgers won the Super Bowl to start the decade. Yes. So
correct.
You got it. To me, at the quarterback position, to make an all decade, you have to have won a Super Bowl in the decade, unless one quarterback won every Super Bowl in the decade. At that position. And I guess there's a couple caveats. You can't be the Ravens with Trent Dilfer and be the only other team, but my imagination would be you need to have a really damn good quarterback to win a Super Bowl. You got to have a ring in the decade to be on the all decade team.
I think I would agree. I'd have to look back at the other all-decade teams, but I would agree that who had the better decade, you have to say Aaron Rodgers had the better decade than Brees. As great as Brees has been, He is an all-world gentleman, all-world off-the-field guy. On the field, is going to set all types of records. Has already set a number of them. Going to retire with a bunch of records. But in terms of for 10 years, 10 seasons, who had the better last 10 seasons? Rodgers has the Super Bowl. Breeze does not. That was the previous decade. And Rodgers has two NFL MVP awards. Breeze doesn't have any. I mean, flat out, it would have to be Rodgers. And Rodgers gets killed as well for having gone to so many NFC Championship games and having lost them. I believe he had three losing NFC Championship games in the decade as well. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Breeze only had the one, the non-call game 2 years ago.
I think you could actually have a conversation that Russell Wilson is closer to Drew Brees for the all-decade team than Rodgers and Brees are.
You think for this decade you could go Rodgers, Russell Wilson, then Brees?
I think there's at least a conversation to be had. I'm not ready to put my stamp on it, but I think the gap between Brees and Russell Wilson for what could be 3-4 is tighter than a Rodgers-Brees for me.
It's an interesting list, and again, significantly, this usually means if you're on the first team, you're getting into the Hall of Fame, and if you're on the second team, you get a pretty good shot at getting into the Hall of Fame as well. So that's what's notable about this list. Some other notable names on the list, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, a lot of Seahawks on this roster. Richard Sherman got in, and understandably so, at safety, Earl Thomas got in, so a couple of Legion of Boom guys, Darrell Revis, Honey Badger, Eric Berry, Patrick Willis. Notably, Cam Chancellor's not on this list at safety. They put in Berry, Eric Weddle, Earl Thomas. I think they might have had a problem putting in two Seahawks safeties, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. I think it's hard to have this list without Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, Eric Weddle is not a better player than Cam Chancellor at their peak.
No. Chancellor was far more dominant. But it's an interesting list worth checking out as the NFL released its all-decade team. Before I get to Gary Gorski and the NCAA tournament simulation, I wanted to ask Pete the Body Bellotti this question. Pete, we talked about this yesterday without you. What did you think about WrestleMania without fans? Was it disorienting? Was it weird for you to watch it without fans in attendance?
It was weird, but I got into it. Now, if it was me, I would have probably filmed the whole event both days like they did those specialty matches and did it like a television shoot, make it very personable where it's just the two people in a room, in the ring or in a room, and that made it seem like it was an event without fans.
Okay, so they did two different things there. There were some matches that were filmed like that and then other matches that were live?
There were two matches that were filmed a la like a movie. So those matches, and they were very different, and the fans loved them. So I would have filmed the whole event similar to that, but I understand why they did it. It was a little weird in the beginning, especially when someone is cutting a promo and no one's there to react. But as the show went on and the matches got better, I felt like no fans, it didn't really matter to me.
It didn't really matter. Wow, that's interesting because I only saw clips of this, obviously, and I'm not as in tuned as you were. I was thrown off. It felt weird that it was kind of like in a very quiet soundstage and everything you heard was like slaps and hitting the mat and that enhanced kind of theatrics and no crowd. I found it very weird and distracting, but you think it wasn't as distracting the more that you watched it.
Yeah, when there was rest holes, like when you were in a headlock and nothing was going on, that's when you noticed it. But then as the show went on and the action got a little more intense and it was a little quicker, I didn't notice it as much.
Okay, the reason we talked about this yesterday and the reason that we're going to still talk about it is because this could be the future of where sports is going amidst the coronavirus. There's not going to be fans in attendance more than likely for early baseball games, maybe all baseball games. If they restart the NBA season, if they restart hockey, golf, there's not going to be fans at least for the start. So what we saw with WrestleMania could be a sign of things to come. When we come back, the NCAA tournament simulation. Who was your Final Four and who won the national championship game last night? We'll discuss next and unveil. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
funky and funny. The Galaxy's best combination.
You better be respectful and listening with two ears what I'm trying to say to you right now, because I don't play. I don't joke around.
No, you don't.
And let me tell you something. You do not walk on me in this building.
No, you don't.
I matter here.
No. Josie, what is going on around here?
I'm not sure, but Shep matters here. So let him take this.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You will not walk on Shep inside these walls. Welcome back to the DA Show, our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy. Bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. And watch the show at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking. You can watch it on any device, anywhere. Plus, you can check it out inside the radio.com app as well. WatchDA.com. Watch the simulcast of us every single day. So no NCAA tournament this year. Last night would have been the national championship game, but fear not, because Wolverine Studios has run a simulation and we have a national champion. Cue the music. All right, so let me give you some of the early upsets. There weren't a ton. There was one 5-12 upset. UCLA advanced over number 5, Ohio State. There was a 13 over a 4 in the biggest upset seeding-wise in this simulated tournament. 13-seeded New Mexico State taking out 4-seeded Oregon. And the number 2 seed Aztecs from San Diego State only make it one win in the round of 32. They got knocked off by the 10-seeded Xavier. Here is your Elite Eight. Again, no double-digit seeds. This was a power team Elite Eight. Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, Gonzaga, Dayton, Creighton, BYU and Michigan. The highest seeds in there, BYU as a 5 seed, Michigan as a 6 seed. In the final four, you had traditional powers. Kansas against Duke in one side, Michigan State against Gonzaga in the other side. Would this be the year that Gonzaga won the national championship? Unfortunately, no. For those of you in Spokane, Bulldogs Nation, have to wait another year. In the NCAA tournament simulation last night, it was Duke taking the banner, beating Michigan State last night for the 2020 National Championship. Now, this was a simulation run by Wolverine Studios and Draft Day Sports, College Basketball 2020. Joining us is the founder of Wolverine Studios, Gary Gorski. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
How we doing?
I'm doing great. You know, you don't know how good it is to hear that CBS music. We've missed it so much.
I know. We play this basically every morning just to keep our juices flowing throughout March, now early April. I got to say, I'm very disappointed. I cannot have Duke winning a virtual national championship. This is the one we can actually control. We can't have Coach K hanging yet another banner here, Gary.
Well, I guess there's something for realism then, huh?
But I suppose,
When we did the tournament, we wanted to make sure that we kept the pureness of the tournament. So we only ran it through once, and we let the game decide who was going to be the winner.
How did you guys insert the seedings for all of the teams?
So we worked really closely with our mod community to get real teams and logos in the game. And we set up the teams according to their strength. So we had to do a lot of work inside the code to mod this, to set up the seeds where we wanted to set the teams with the proper amount of strength. And then we were able to let the simulation take it from there.
Does a simulation factor in history? In other words, since we always seem to have a 5-12 upset, does the computer simulation know there's going to be one 5-12 more than likely? You guys had that.
Yeah, no, the simulation doesn't know that. It's just how it worked out with the seedings. I think, when you seed them, sometimes they might seed them, I think, where they think there could be a 5-12 upset. So I think we kind of kept that stuff in mind with the people we worked with to do the seeding, and we got one there.
Why did you decide to only run it through once? A lot of computer simulations do it thousands of times, then takes kind of the compilation and what was the most popular outcome.
Right. And normally we would have done that, but the thing about the tournament is that the tournament is so popular because you get that one in a million run. And, you know, simulating it a thousand times would have taken that away, and we probably would have ended up with just a chalk bracket all the way through. So we wanted that excitement. We wanted the New Mexico State ability to make a Cinderella run there to the Sweet 16, and we didn't want to take that away.
Gary Gorski joins us, founder of Wolverine Studios. They ran a simulation for the NCAA tournament. It was Duke over Michigan State last night in the national championship game. Their Final Four also included Kansas and Gonzaga. It was high on chalk, your simulation. There wasn't a lot of lower seeds, if you will, that danced through. The highest seeds of the Elite Eight were the lower seeds, BYU and Michigan, 5 and 6. Why do you think that was?
You know, I think that there's a lot of parity in college basketball, but I think that the top teams really have players who can get them through, and I think that's what our simulation showed this year with, especially with Duke and Michigan State, their guard play, and, you know, it helps get them through the tournament, and I think that's why we saw the power teams there at the end.
Did Coach K reach out to you after last night looking for a banner?
No, he didn't.
Okay. So you guys have Draft Day Sports, College Basketball 2020. It allows fans to build their own college basketball team from recruiting right through the tournament. There is no EA Sports NCAA basketball anymore. A lot of people lament the end of that. So how does this differ, and how do fans kind of play along with college basketball here?
So our games differ because they're management and simulation style games. So your success isn't determined by how well you can push buttons on your Xbox or PlayStation. So our game gives you the opportunity to go in and be a coach, and you play out a career. So you recruit every season, you set your strategies, you can coach the games and make substitutions and watch the results play out. We have a very active and helpful community for new players and for modders to mod the game to get their teams in or their coaches or players or whatever they want. And it's very easy to play, and you can spend many, many hours just progressing through your own career and seeing how you could do as a head coach.
We had on one of the developers of Out of the Park Baseball 2021, which is kind of the same idea, building rosters, looking at the analytics, and really being more of a GM than a player, like the old school video games. You would play as a player, but instead now, why do you think so many people nowadays would prefer the roster build, the recruiting, instead of the actual gameplay?
I think that fans are smarter now, and they're so much into the analytics, like you said, and the management and the thinking. And, you know, they think that they can draft better, they can trade better, they can build a better team. And our games like that, games like ours, give them that opportunity to sit there and play it out. They don't have to wait for fantasy results. They don't have to wait to see what happens in real life. And right now there is nothing going on in real life. So they can sit there and have all the sports they want all day long and test their skills and see if they really could build better rosters.
So you can take over your favorite school, and then you can recruit all of the players, and you can kind of watch it unfold over the years and see if you can build a program up on the program.
Exactly. And then you also have the opportunity to change schools along the way and, you know, get better jobs and maybe work your way up to what would have been your dream coaching job.
Oh, so you can be an opportunistic assistant coach or head coach that just leaves for the better offer, even though your players don't get paid.
Yes, and we even have it built in where you can turn on a feature where you can help players come to your school and maybe leave before you get found out about it.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I want to know about this. How is this? How does this work? You can do some underhanded recruiting?
Yes, you can. We do have that option in the game. And, you know, sometimes the game finds out and punishes you in your school, and sometimes not, just like in real life.
No, this is amazing. So what's the option to illegally recruit? Is it about payment of players? I mean, do you organize somebody's car payment? What goes on here?
During the recruiting model, you have a couple of options that you can choose to bribe some of the virtual players there. And, you know, and the game keeps track of it and does investigations from time to time to see if you've been on the up and up, and if not.
That's incredible. You have a cheating option within your college basketball recruiting program building. So when you play it, do you opt to cheat?
No, because I don't want my reputation sullied in the game, so I wouldn't. Okay.
I think I would. I have to admit, I think I would, because I used to play a lot of college basketball and college football on video game systems like PlayStation and build a program. And recruiting, when you take over a program and you keep getting beaten in recruiting, you know, it's really frustrating. You want to just slip some money under the table. You want to set up a condo payment, obviously. So I love the fact that with Draft Day Sports, I'm allowed to do this. Whose idea was this?
Well, this was my idea, but, you know, we wanted to keep things as realistic as possible for people who like realism. And if not, they can turn it off and pretend those things don't exist in the college basketball world.
Hysterical. WolverineStudios.com is the website for Draft Day Sports College Basketball 2020. They ran a simulation of the NCAA tournament. And last night, Duke beat Michigan State for the national championship, the Final Four, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, and Gonzaga. He's Gary Gorski, founder of Wolverine Studios. Gary, fun stuff this morning, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
You got it, Gary Gorski. And how about that? Underhanded recruiting. Bogues, this is perfect. You can be Rick Pitino at Iona and cheat your way through.
To do is give Ricky Rowe a tractor. And now I actually can. I appreciate that.
Finally, a video game that helps you cheat just like it, the real thing. Realism is exactly what we're looking for here. Bogues has our headlines. What do we have here, Bogues?
DA, we've got MLB giving us something to sink our teeth into, even if it seems remotely impossible. The leagues and the Players Association with a plan to play in the Phoenix area at some point in May. All 30 teams would live in basic isolation in area hotels. They'd play at Chase Field, home of the Diamondbacks, and multiple spring training facilities. And they'd practice social distancing during games. Players and coaches would sit 6 feet apart in the empty stands, and home plate umpires could be replaced by computers and cameras. Now, Adam Silver wants his NBA back in action as soon as possible as well, but said last night on the league's Twitter account, they're far away from making any kind of decision.
Essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be.
The league and PA are reportedly working together to acquire some rapid result testing equipment. They view these machines as the main requirement for finding their way back on the court. The NFL will hold a virtual draft later this month. Roger Goodell informing front offices yesterday they'll make their picks from their individual homes, no gatherings at all. This is how golf hopes to finish 2020. The PGA Championship in early August, the U.S. Open and Ryder Cup on back-to-back weekends in late September, and then the Masters in mid-November. The PGA Tour season could resume as early as June without fans. All of that announced after the British Open was canceled yesterday morning. And reports in Canada say the NHL and its players are exploring neutral sites for resuming their season. One of the leading candidates is Grand Forks, North Dakota, where the University of ND plays. It might be the best non-NHL venue in the States and has hosted multiple international events recently.
Look, if you can't isolate yourself in Grand Forks, then you're doing something wrong. That is the type of place where you can send all of the players. They can be on their own. I'd like to know if there's going to be enough hotels for all the players and only one facility, which means you'd probably have to be playing games like double or triple headers every single night or more. But I love the idea.
Yeah, I like the idea. New Hampshire has also been mentioned. I don't know that the plan is for teams to stay in these areas. I think they're talking about where they would actually play. I don't know that the plan is exactly like baseball where everyone would convene in one place. They're looking for places that are outside major cities that, in theory, there's less danger of
germs flying around.
Look, I mean, if you wanted to be somewhere safe these days, you would go to the least populated areas and the least populated states. And one of those states, North Dakota, one of those states, South Dakota, one of those states, Wyoming. Those are the types of places where you are so far away that you increase your chances of safety. So I love this idea. But if they're all playing in Grand Forks, if they're playing at UND, they can't be like one team's in Minnesota and one team's in Denver and one team's in Phoenix. They've got to be in North Dakota, basically, so they could keep going, because you're not going to put these guys on flights constantly.
Now, that's true. And the one thing that you didn't mention as a possible place to do anything safely is your own private island. So we go back to the UFC. Right. Dana White telling TMZ he's about to acquire one of those in an undisclosed body of water for his next few events, starting with number 249 into Saturdays. Again, the exact location is unknown, but the whispers yesterday were somewhere off the west coast of our country. And again, this would be as early as two Saturdays from now, with, of course, no fans allowed on said private island. Now back in the NFL, the Rams and Chargers, the reported picks for HBO's Hard Knocks. If there are training camps this summer, yes, it would be the first time that two teams were featured on the show. And reviewing pass interference, earmuffs, Pete, expected to be dropped after just one season. All rules issues voted on during the competition committee meeting in late May. Hall of Fame Detroit Tiger Al Kaline passed away yesterday at 85. He played all 22 of his seasons for the Tigers, becoming the first player in franchise history to have his number retired. Louisville junior Jordan Nwora and Kentucky freshman Tyrese Maxey are leaving for the NBA draft. Purdue seven-footer Matt Harms is transferring, apparently surprising the Boilermakers. Harms can play immediately as a grad transfer. And Oregon star Sabrina Ionescu wins her second Wooden Award in a row as the nation's top player. Ionescu averaged 17 points and 9 assists in her final year with the Ducks. She's the only player in NCAA history, any level, man or woman, with 2,000 career points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists. D.A.?
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, this date in Mothership history, a teary-eyed, emotional Mraz over the trading of one of his favorite players ever. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Party on a sports talk spaceship.
And I don't need to be beamed up. I'm fixing to cook a couple steaks for me and the missus.
Just go with it. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, you can always watch the best of the DA show in video form via YouTube. Go to our CBS Sports Radio YouTube page and check out the very best of clips every single day. The best takes, best interviews, best moments throughout history. That's all on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, is golf actually best suited to restart, to return to normalcy in June? They're looking to do so. They postponed the Masters, but they're looking to get golf events underway in June. We'll talk about that coming up top of the hour. Also, your advanced analytics this morning begins with the first segment of the show, when we were talking about Drew Brees being left off yet another all-decade team. And Mraz said, well, somehow we got onto the point of disrespected quarterbacks, and that a guy like Tony Romo and even Matt Ryan will get into Canton. In which case I said, Mraz, this is a quarantine take. You've been away from things too long. You've been eating too many cheese curds in your sweatpants and Zubaz. You've got to get out of the house, clear your head, because I'm telling you, when we return back to work with normalcy, like in September, October, you won't believe that once upon a time you said Tony Romo belonged to the Hall of Fame.
I just can't believe you painted the picture as I look down and I'm literally in my Zubaz right now.
Of course you are. Of course.
No, this is the first time I've worn them all quarantined, but you mentioned them the day I've worn them.
How stained are they?
They're not stained. They're more faded. They don't wash well.
No, they don't.
Yeah, very faded look.
Yeah. The richness of the Zubaz color goes away pretty quickly after a few washings. And the thing is, you have to wash them constantly because they usually, they carry the funk.
Carrying the funk is the perfect way to put this. You're absolutely right. They don't waft well. It's not a good ventilator sweatpant. It is not.
No.
It traps a lot of the smoke, if you will.
Yeah. Let's bring you this date in Mothership history.
step inside. It's This Date in Mothership History.
On this date, 6 years ago, Mraz got super emotional over Ryan Callahan, his favorite Ranger, getting traded.
Last hour, Mraz got choked up again. I mean, was really actually openly crying here on the show. He was reminded that a month ago, the trade went down where his beloved Ryan Callahan was dealt to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mraz, how difficult is this for you to watch Ryan Callahan play so well for the Lightning?
It's not difficult because I love Ryan, and I will always love Ryan, and I'm happy for him. And you know what? If the Rangers don't win a cup, I hope Ryan leads Tampa to a cup.
Are you getting choked up right now?
Stop.
You actually really are.
I'm not getting choked up like last time, but I just can't even think about it, Ryan Callahan, without just.
Can you root for the Lightning?
If they're not playing the Rangers, I absolutely root for the Lightning because it'll stick it to Sather. Absolutely. Ryan Callahan deserves a Stanley Cup, and he could have got us one.
I don't know what to say. This is becoming a weekly embarrassment. I mean, the eating is one thing. Now this, like, pathetic excuse for crying for one freaking player? Mraz, seriously, just go take a lap. Get out of here. Give us all a break. This is enough.
It's weeks later after the trade. When was the trade?
It's been over a month. I can't get over it. I don't know why. No, I had been fine. I've been fine. I've been watching the Rangers. I've been fine until just this phone call. And now more annoying, upset again.
Is it because Mike in Tampa is talking about how great Callahan has been?
It's been awesome. I mean, we could be even better. The Rangers, yeah.
I mean, since the trade, the Rangers have played really well.
They have played well, but the St. Louis stinks. He's got one goal, and you know what? Come to shove in the playoffs, we're going to miss Callahan blocking shots. We're going to miss the penalty killing, and I'm going to have St. Louis not putting any pucks in the net, and we could fizzle against Philly here, and Callahan's going to be dancing his way. And you watch. The Lightning will match up with the Bruins in the second round, and he'll be the one. He'll be the hero that takes the Bruins out, upsets them, and it all because Sather can't keep him.
But you hadn't gotten past it.
I haven't gotten past it, I guess.
You had distracted yourself from it.
This is like therapy, but yes, I distracted myself, and I haven't gotten past it.
It's time to process it, though.
The playoffs are here, and it's going to sting even worse as I'm watching him score big goals.
But it's time to process. But hey, you can root for Callahan now.
I'm absolutely gonna.
Yeah, he's actually, tears are rolling down his face as we speak. I can't even do this anymore. He's getting married in a month. Someone wants to spend the rest of her life with him.
This is a month later after the trade.
Oh, get out of here.
It's a month later. He's actually crying right now.
I just want him back.
What a scorned ex-lover. Oh, my God, I miss him so much. Shut up.
Oh, man, this is too good.
This date in Mothership History, 2014. That's one of the all-timers. One of the all-timers. Mraz actually crying over the Ryan Callahan trade and the snarky, pithy, dismissive Philly that is in Kenny Brock on that clip is just an all-timer. And Mraz, Ryan Callahan still has never won a Stanley Cup.
No, and that year the Rangers did make a Stanley Cup mainly because of the goal scored by Marty St. Louis acquired in that trade. And Callahan's contract became an albatross with the Lightning. So safe to say, I was wrong.
That year, after that trade, the Rangers went to the Stanley Cup final.
Yes, and literally because of acquiring Marty St. Louis and all the big goals he scored.
And the trade looked horrible from the Lightning standpoint.
Yes, absolutely. It looked terrible. Now, they made a cup the next year, but not because of Callahan. So I was wrong. You notice that a lot with me.
How great is Brock's just total saltiness?
Oh, boy. Anytime he could needle me in that moment, too, he knew how to play at my heartstrings and just look at me like I was the biggest disgusting pig in the world. It was the one of many times that happened back there on the overnight.
Yes, that was year two of the overnights, and just relentless ripping and trashing of Mraz because we were all in very little sleep. Mraz was overly emotional at the time. You're still an emotional guy, but I think at that time you were even more emotional.
I was, and I, again, you guys all handled sleep different ways. I was just a big emotional tub of goo.
Blubbering mess.
Blubbering disaster.
This date in Mothership history, 6 years ago. That was before you got married, Mraz.
It's unbelievable. You're right. That was right on the cusp. I was a young man, D.A. I had some hair follicles.
Young man. When we come back, is golf actually set up best to return to normalcy quickest? D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.